Welcome to the Jumpstart with John Groves podcast, stories and sermons that help you go the distance. To find out more, visit johnlgroves.com or find us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook by searching John L. Groves. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. And this is a good day to be here because this is going to be a truth-filled, power-packed episode. Today, I'm going to be talking with my great friend, Grayson Bearden, who is a pastor, a social media evangelist, and also a PK. God is using him to reach millions of people around the world. In fact, right now he has 1.1 million followers on an app called TikTok, where every single week he hosts TikTok Church, where thousands upon thousands of young people are coming to know Jesus Christ and hearing the message of the gospel, for some, the very first time. But social media was not the first place that I encountered Grayson, or rather, I didn't see one of his videos first. What I originally saw was an article being shared around on Facebook that Grayson had written about his testimony, how God had granted him glorious redemption from a homosexual lifestyle that he had dived into while growing up a preacher's kid. And so as I began to read through the comments below the article, I saw some hateful things, even from people in ministry, and I knew that he and I needed to connect. So I shot him a message, said, "Hey, bro, I can't wait to learn from you. So thankful for your story. I've got so many questions to ask." And he was gracious, and we have become just the best of friends. And my wife, Olivia, and Grayson's soon-to-be wife, Jeslyn, are fantastic friends as well. And so I can't wait for you to hear all that he has to say about his testimony, reaching people who are in that particular lifestyle, but more than that, how to effectively reach the next generation with the gospel. I believe he's an expert on it. 1.1 million teenagers are following him and learning from him. So let's see what he has to say.
It's a touchy topic in the church these days, but here at Jumpstart, we like to talk about those things, and we don't know what we don't know, so we want to learn how to approach that and how to pray and how to do all those different types of things, and Grayson is an expert on the subject, and so we're going to spend some time doing that. So welcome to the video.
Yeah, welcome, everybody.
And you guys need to follow Grayson on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all the things.
Yeah, all of the above.
He's on all of them.
That's right, that's right.
Are you on Byte?
Byte, I am on Byte. I just downloaded Byte the other day. So you can find me, Grayson Bearden, on every platform except for TikTok. It's Grayson.Bearden, so
Byte,
check it out.
Byte is just the millennial TikTok.
Yeah, you know, Byte is the resurrection divine. So yeah,
it's really neat. Confusing.
It really is.
It's hard to navigate. I didn't really like it.
We'll see how long it lasts. We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. It'll be like Vine.
That's right.
It'll go down for real.
So we're recording on one channel here. We'll see how our audio goes. Hopefully this is all right for everyone listening right now. But we're gonna get through it. We're gonna see.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'll do like a quick little intro.
Perfect.
You know, and you know, I can do a longer intro like with this file in the end, but we'll just dive right in.
Sounds good.
Welcome to Jumpstart, the podcast all about sparking ideas that help you go the distance. And today, I'm here with one of my best friends in the world, Grayson Bearden. Stoked to have you here today, Grayson.
What's up, John? Thank you for having me, man.
Hey, we met in person, I don't know, several months ago, a couple months ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And we connected on social media. And one of the first things that I saw from you or about you was this article that Charisma Magazine had published.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be kind of the launching pad for our conversation today. And so I'm so thankful that you'd be on here with us. We are in the presence today of a social media legend.
Oh, come on, man.
he's amassed a following of over 500,000 on TikTok. And it's incredible because what he's doing is right in line with something we're going to talk about on another podcast. He's being a digital Billy Graham. He's sharing the gospel.
Amen.
But your testimony is incredible. How that God rescued you from some things. You're a preacher's kid like me. You've been through some stuff.
Yeah.
And so we just want to dive right in today on our episode that we're calling Burger King Sexuality.
Yes, sir.
Only we know that according to the Bible, you can't have it your way.
That's it.
But can you tell us a little bit about your history and your testimony and introduce today's topic?
Yeah, well, I grew up like many of us, I'm sure many people listening, you grew up in a Christian home. And for me, John, just like you, I mean, many of my family is in ministry. I mean, my parents are pastors, aunts and uncles are pastors. So I grew up knowing about the Lord. I grew up knowing about God, knowing about the move of the Lord, and just seeing the success of how God can move in someone's life. And in my life growing up, I was drawn towards the arts, drawn towards music, drawn towards dance and drama. And growing up down here in South Texas, you know, we are a football playing, rodeo attending, mud wrestling kind of town. And that was just not my vibe. I love to dance. I love to sing. And I grew up really loving the arts. And I found ballet, which was something that no one in my family did. Now I come from a family full of musicians, full of Christian artists with Dove Awards and Grammy Awards. And I found something that no one else in my family did but me. So it became very personal for me. But growing up in public school here in a small town in Texas, it was kind of weird for people in the school to hear about the young guy who was the ballet dancer. So you can imagine the names I was called and getting picked on. And just a couple of weeks ago, as I was preaching here on Sunday at our church, Journey Church in Corpus Christi, a memory came up to mind that the Lord kind of brought to the surface of when I was jumping on the trampoline at a friend's house. And a friend said, "Oh, you're that princess boy, huh?" And that label really hit me. And I didn't realize how much that affected me and planted that seed of insecurity. And one thing that I've learned growing up, John, is that confusion in sexual identity comes out of insecurity. And that's where that seed really was planted in my life.
So in the article that we're going to link to in the show notes, and then we'll put in the comments of the video for those that are watching live with us right now in the Jumpstart group, you talked about how you stepped into a life of homosexuality.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? And maybe what are some of the factors that led to what you call in the article the trap of that lifestyle?
Yeah. So like I said, being in the arts, I mean, there's already a stigma for young men who are in the arts world. And I think that's definitely changing with our culture now. But growing up in the early 2000s, it wasn't as much. It was kind of weird for young men to be doing stuff like that in people's ideas. For me, not at all. It was completely normal for me and my family. But as I grew up, I began to look back on what happened to me in kindergarten. And when I was in kindergarten, there was a young man down the street who was... I'm not sure how much we can talk or how deep we can get with this kind of stuff, but he was molested by a family member, and then what happened to him he replicated to me, and we were about a year apart in age, and as we grew up it didn't really affect him as much as it affected me. That was my first experience with sexuality, and it really tainted the idea of sexuality for me in my life. And as I grew up, I didn't realize there was roots getting planted very deep in my heart, in my mind, confusion coming up in my mind. And as I grew into my later years in school, getting into middle school, you know, as you grow, your sexual identity forms and your attraction forms, and these thoughts come into your mind, and it was poisoned for me. And I really began to suppress it, not want to face it, not want to look at it, not want to look back at the memory of what happened, because it hurt. It was painful. So I grew up with these thoughts, with these feelings, began to develop attraction towards guys, and wasn't sure what to do with it, wasn't sure who to talk to about it. Because as you grow up in the Christian church, I mean, you hear how bad it is and, you know, turn or burn and you can't do that. It's wrong. It's bad. It's bad. So that made me feel so insecure in being able to come to somebody out of vulnerability to talk to them about it in the Christian sphere of things. But in the world, it was a completely different story, because coming up in the 2000s, I mean, there's this big movement of, you know, try it, do whatever you want, have it your way, try this, try that. Where comes this Burger King sexuality, do whatever you want, have it your way. So I found this comfort in people who edified what the world called homosexuality. And that really became an identity that other people stuck on me that I began to wear for myself.
I know I'm a preacher's kid and you are as well.
Yeah.
And several years ago, I started this thing called the Preacher's Kid Network.
Yeah.
Started connecting with preacher's kids all around the world, and 99% of them I've never met in person.
Wow.
But I started to hear about how so many of them were fighting this particular battle in their personal lives.
Yeah.
And some were winning the fight, some were losing the fight. But in being exposed to this is such a bigger thing than I even realized, I started discovering as I traveled around the country that there's a mass majority of young people who are asking questions along these same lines. And you mentioned something in your testimony, you shared that something happened to you.
Yeah.
Is that true for everyone who battles this lifestyle? Or what about, are there people who are born with a particular proclivity in this area?
Well, I think for many people, it comes from an experience. But growing up in our day and age, I mean, like I said, we are encouraged to try, experience, experiment, do whatever you want. So we don't realize it, but we are opening the door in our young people's lives that they don't have to open for themselves to try things that the enemy is trying to put in their heart, put in their mind to completely derail their future and completely poison the idea of sexuality, because we live in a very poisoned world with sexuality. I mean, it's everywhere. You can't go anywhere without looking at something, seeing something on the road, on TV, on your phone. I mean, the major streaming network, Netflix, right now, you can see anything and everything, all of people's goodness and their mercy up on those shows. And it's completely inappropriate, I think. But I feel like for many kids nowadays, young people and even adults, they're encouraged to experiment, to try things. So it doesn't have to necessarily come from something happening to them. Now you can just walk right up into it.
Wow. I think that it's interesting that you talk about how this culture is so focused on what I'll call desacralizing. I'm not sure if that's a word.
Sure.
But
we can make it one.
Desacralizing.
Webster's, where y'all at? Write it down.
Come on. We're adding it into the 2021 edition. Sexuality.
Yeah.
Because we live in a world that is so focused on race.
Yeah.
Race is sacred. You can't talk about my race. And people are either really just bold and proud or really to themselves,
yeah,
and for different, probably good reasons. But then the idea of sexuality is something that's not a necessarily as big of a hot topic. It's just out there.
Yeah.
We use it in...
It's the norm.
We use it in marketing.
Yeah.
We use it on TV programs. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing this. We've taken something that was so private and made it so public. Why do you think it is that one of the first places that the enemy attacks these days is sexual identity?
Well, I think sexuality should be something very public. I just think the way our world and culture has made it public is sinful. Because sexuality in the Bible is something very sacred, but it's talked about very openly. But we see now in our world that it has very much been twisted and misshapen by the enemy. And it's rampant. It's all over. Say your question one more time, just so I can make sure I heard it right.
Why do you think it is that this is the place that the enemy seems to be focusing his attention these days?
I think identity is something the Lord speaks so clearly about in his word. And the enemy wants nothing more than to confuse the identity of God's children. I know with my identity, God has a plan for my life. And I'm not saying it was God's plan for me to go through this struggle, but he trusted me in this struggle because he knew that I would come out of it and that I would be stronger coming out of it. So the enemy wants to plant seeds of insecurity. And I personally believe that sexual identity, confusion in sexual identity, comes out of the seed of insecurity, because the enemy will put a thought in your mind saying, you're not this, you're wrong, or this is, you're not attracted to this, you're attracted to this. And that is obviously not God's plan for our lives. So it comes through insecurity for many people.
Absolutely.
Because the enemy doesn't want God's people to be secure in who they are.
Absolutely. I want to take a second and explain what is sin.
Sure.
Because if you search social media for Christians or Christian perspective on the topic of homosexuality,
yeah,
it will not take you long to find somebody with a sign,
yeah,
or somebody with a megaphone,
yeah,
that is boldly proclaiming homosexuality is sin.
Yeah.
Now, we can take time to dive into the Word of God to say that that is a true statement, that homosexuality is sin. But if we could define sin the way that Scripture defines it, sin is the transgression of the law of God.
Yeah.
Or utilizing something against its God-given purpose.
Yeah.
So when people indulge in pornography or gluttony, it's sin.
Yeah.
It is a transgression of the law of God. When people lie about somebody or lie before marriage with somebody, we're saying that this is transgression of the law of God.
Yeah.
And so I think in my generation, the church made homosexuality this big sin.
Yeah.
But then we had these other things like gossip that were these little sins.
Mm.
And I don't believe that that goes along with the Word of God.
Mm.
So when we're talking about this particular sin,
yeah,
we're talking about it because the world is asking questions,
yeah,
and the church is living in some misconceptions. And yeah. I'm wondering if you could open our eyes to what are some of the misconceptions about those who are in this struggle, whether they realize it or not, yeah. that the church currently has.
So I think in our zeal as Christians, we can be so passionate about just saying, you know, turn from your ways, turn from your wicked ways. You know, we hear that so often, but we don't realize in the way we present the gospel and the truth of God, we have to present it in a way to turn the hearts of those who are trapped. And if I'm telling you, John, you're doing this wrong. This is not right. Are you going to change because I'm yelling at you that way? Of course not.
Right.
But if I come alongside you and take an interest in who you are, not just what you're doing, then we can really see change happen. And I think it's so important for the church to understand that if we're going to reach people, we have to do it in love. Sergio de la Mora, a great man of God in San Diego, California, his mission statement is turning the hearts, and it's done with love.
That's so good. Now, I think there's misconceptions on both sides of this aisle,
100%.
So to speak.
Oh, yeah.
There are things that those in this struggle believe about Christians as a whole.
Yeah.
And so for that person who's listening to this because of the title and because they're mad and they want to come after us after
yes.
this, could you speak to the misconceptions that a person living in a homosexual lifestyle
yeah.
may have about the church that simply they're not true?
Well, first and foremost, if you're watching this or listening to this podcast right now and you yourself are struggling or you believe in this sexual identity, I just want to say first and foremost, you are so loved. And you may be hearing what I'm saying, and please hear my heart. We're not coming at this in this stance of coming at you. We want to come to you with an open heart. And I pray that you would have an open heart as well. I think it's important, John, that for Christians, non-Christians, other religions, people in any spheres of life, if we want to have healthy dialogue, we have to be able to respect each other to have it.
Absolutely.
We can't just scream at each other. We have to open it up with a calm spirit, you know, with that still small, that gentle voice, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. But we have many Christians who are not acting as gentlemen. They're acting pretty harsh, and that we're not going to see change, you know. I think it's important for Christians to understand the LGBTQ plus community. They want to be heard. They want to be heard, just like we want to be heard. Mm. But the fact of the matter is, many of us are just covering our ears, screaming our voice so loud. So no one's listening to anybody. It's just this back and forth battle. And Christians, a lot of Christians feel like the LGBT community has it out against the Christian church, when a lot of times they just want to find a place to belong. I know so many, and I'm sure you do as well, so many LGBTQ people that want to find a home, that want to find a church, that have a desire to get closer to God, but they don't feel welcome in their churches. I mean, here at Journey, I mean, we have some people who identify as gay or lesbian, and they know our stance. They know that we stand on biblical truth, but our doors will never be shut to them. And I think that's what's very important. Our doors will always be open. Now, just because we accept you doesn't mean we approve of your behavior. And I believe that's something Jesus took very serious. I mean, we saw him hanging out with sinners. We saw him hanging out with tax collectors. We saw him hanging out with these people who culture really pushed away. Did he approve of their behavior? No. But he accepted them. He even went to their house, man, for dinner. He
Absolutely.
Wanted to hang with them and develop a relationship. And that's where I think a lot of us get it wrong. We don't want to develop a relationship with people. We just want to develop a platform.
That's so good. And we could probably spend 3 more hours
yeah.
dissecting all of the meat that you just gave us.
Oh, come on.
When I was pastoring, we had several even couples who were married
yeah.
that started attending our churches who were living in that
yeah.
particular lifestyle. And it presented me with some questions that I didn't have the answers to because I'd never considered them before.
Mm.
And so you have a unique perspective, which is why I'm asking you,
yeah.
how do we approach these people?
Yeah.
And okay, as a pastor, looking back on my experience, we had successful relationships with
yeah.
our church and these folks because we explained what is sin. And I believe we did our best as flawed humans, but we did our best
yeah.
to show the love of God. And we saw the Holy Spirit do some incredible things. And then I know of some that the Holy Spirit is still working on.
Yeah.
But how do we go to them without being at them? How do we approach that? Because you talked
yeah.
about loving, but not condoning.
Yeah.
There's so much in there. And some pastors are going, okay, this makes sense, but like, I don't know the practical.
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Man, that's such a good question. your approach is so important. And I think if you ever want to really speak, and I heard a friend of mine, his name is, give me a second real quick, because I want to shout this guy out, because I watched a message that he preached the other day, and it was so good.
While
cut this part out
up,
while I'm searching.
If you're on Facebook and you have some questions about this topic, please post them in the comments. I'm looking at the video right now, and I know we've got a bunch of people joining us on this. So if you have a question, share it, and we'd
Come
love
on,
to
yes.
get to it. Because we appreciate you guys joining us here.
Yes. So I have a friend named Christopher Hale that preached a message recently, and he shared something that was so good. Talking about this issue, it was at Daystar Church in Greensboro. I completely just lost my train of thought. Give me like 3 seconds to try and get it back. Ask me your question one more time.
How do we come to them without being at them? How do we love without condoning?
How do we love without condoning? Many people will preach from platform without going to the people first. And if you don't have a relationship with someone, you won't be able to speak into their life. You won't be able to speak directly to their heart. Now, I think it's important. This is what he said. And I got it now. He said, this topic needs to be talked about from platforms. It's so important. We have to talk about sexuality in our churches, not just homosexuality, pornography, lust, immorality. It's very important. But the depths of the ministry does not take place on the platform. It happens outside of the walls of the church or off the platform in the offices, on the couches, you know, in relationship with people.
So true.
I am not going to be able to deliver you in a message without getting to know you and know your story to walk with you in deliverance. And that's discipleship. You don't disciple people on a platform. You disciple them off the platform. And that's what's so important for people to understand. And it can be uncomfortable. It can be hard. It can be challenging because you're like, oh man, what am I going into? Because we already go into those conversations with a wall up. I know for me, anytime, bro, and maybe you feel this way, but for me, coming from my story, anytime I hear the word gay or LGBT mentioned in church, I'm on the edge of my seat, just right. waiting to hear what's going to be said, because I'm already, I have a defense thinking, oh man, how is this going to be presented? Because it's so important how it is presented. Not that we are watering down the gospel. No. But we have to be intentional. Even Jesus was intentional when he spoke to people. There were times he flipped the tables, and there were times he got down in the dirt with people to minister.
That's so good. As the church today is navigating this topic,
yeah,
the saying is true. We don't know what we don't know.
Mm.
And so, coming from your experience, what are some things that we just don't know? What are some things that we're missing in this world? Because I believe that any true Christian, any true believer who loves God, loves what God loves, and God loves people, all people, all backgrounds, all sins, all proclivities. But I think we're missing something because this is so stigmatized and scary because, again, we don't know what we don't know. What is that?
So we live in a world right now that is so full of the labelless society. You know, it's like, yo, don't wear a label. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. And I think the church could learn something from that. And here's where I'm going with this. Just hear me out. I know a pastor right now is like, what is he saying? Just hear my heart for a second. I think it's important that we see the heart first before the label. And when we speak to an audience of people, we're not speaking to their labels or their titles. We're speaking to their hearts. They're people first before they're LGBT, before they're Democrat, Republican, before they're Canadian, American, before they're Chinese, Japanese. They're people. And that's what's so important. We need to get back to the basics just like Jesus did in loving people back to life, but it starts with their heart.
I think this has been a profitable conversation, and maybe we'll come to a part two depending on the questions that people send in.
Yeah.
But one of the things that gripped me about your testimony, which is what caused me to, I think, reach out for the first time, was that your parents did something so untypical in the church world. They loved you through this, and they let the Holy Spirit do his own job.
Yeah.
And I know that there's some tough love involved in that as well. So I'm sure it wasn't everything that you wanted in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
But understanding that we believe the Bible, we believe the Word of God, and the Word of God calls this a sin.
Yes.
Can you close out this episode with a little bit of hope? How did the Holy Spirit work
Yeah.
In your heart? How did he convict you? What was that transformation process like? Because we live in a world that says,
sure,
you may never have victory over this. And some say that your victory is going to mean that you marry someone of the opposite sex. Yeah. And it may be somewhere in the middle. Now, for those that don't know, Grayson has a wonderful fiance, yes, and a soon-to-be son.
That's right.
And he's got an incredible family. And so yeah, God definitely brought you like,
that's right,
full swing. But can you talk to us about how the Holy Spirit does his job? What's that look like?
Sure. So back in June of 2014, I was in the midst of my struggle. I had ran away from home. I was living in different places in Corpus, getting involved with all the wrong kind of stuff. I didn't want anything to do with God. I was done. I had prayed myself. I had cried myself to sleep, crying out to God, screaming, just praying, Lord, take it, take it, take it. And I just, nothing was happening. It wasn't working anymore. So I'd left, I'd ran away. Me and my parents, through this struggle, we've all made mistakes. My parents initially, when my struggle was first coming out in the open, they didn't respond very well. It was difficult for them. And a lot of people don't talk about this, John, which is so important, the parent side of the story. Because a lot of people put blame on the parents and don't come for their heart when they are really struggling inside as well and how to navigate this. So, I mean, we were going back and forth. There were some really hard conversations, but my parents were given some amazing counsel by an amazing friend of our family, B.B. Winans. He told them, you have to love your son where he's at. If you want to see a change, you have to love him where he's at. So I remember I was dancing at a thing in Dallas for a ballet company, and I got a phone call from my family saying, we want to come up and see you perform. So they came up and they watched, and that's where they had this conversation with BB. And then they said, Grayson, we want you to come home. We want you to come home. We want to love you where you're at. Doesn't mean we approve, but we want to love you where you're at. So I came home, moved home, and my parents got me connected with this amazing woman named Janet Boynes. You can check out her website, janetboynesministries.com. She is a former lesbian who's come out of the lifestyle. She's written several books, God and Sexuality, her story called Called Out. She travels the country and the world speaking on this topic, and she's a mentor in my life who I look up to so much, and still in relationship today. I serve with her anytime I can for her conference and stuff. But she came down. We had some incredible conversations. I went to youth camp that week, and I was at the altar at youth camp, the last night of youth camp. The music was going, worship was happening, and I found myself standing in the back, and a friend came up and said, Grayson, do you want to leave this here once and for all? Her name is Mickey Whitmire. She's been a friend of my family forever. She's walked through the struggle with me forever. She prayed with me for all these years, and she walked up with me at that altar. I got down on my knees, and I just began to break in the presence of God. Really ugly break, like snotting, tears. It was gross, but I was beautifully broken in God's eyes. And that's what many Christians need to understand, John. Sometimes we have to break and give God some ugly praise to see some stuff happen. So in that moment, I could just feel a lifting in my spirit. And that's when I found my freedom. Now, I believe that freedom and healing are two different things. Freedom can happen in an instant, but healing is a process. Mm. I found my freedom that night. I found liberation in Christ. But I had to walk out my process of healing.
That's so good. Those are two separate things.
Yes, 100. I really do believe they are. And I had to get people in my life like Janet, like Mickey, like my family, like my friends, Bible-believing friends, not just yes friends, people that would call you out and challenge you and pray with you. Those are the good kind of friends you need. They came alongside me and prayed and believed for God to move. Did I fall? Did I stumble? Oh, yeah. Did I make mistakes? Yes, but I didn't stay there. I got back up. I kept going. And that's what people need to understand. We will go through moments where we'll fall, where we'll stumble, but we have to keep moving. And for me, it was hard, but God really moved in my life when I chose to be faithful. And it's when I realized I wasn't afraid of it, because I would say, God, are you ever going to free me? Are you ever going to free me? Freedom doesn't happen out of fear. It happens out of faith. And I had to believe by faith. Now, I know some people today who are Bible-believing Christians who are still drawn to the same sex, but they don't act out on their attraction. They don't act out on those beliefs. And I commend them for sticking true and holding strong in their faith and walking it out. I can't promise you what your outcome's going to be, but I can promise you who's going to walk you through it, and it's Jesus.
That's so good. Well, thank you for having this conversation with us. I really appreciate your openness.
Yeah.
In a world where most church people only confess safe sin.
Mm.
Thank you for having a conversation about something deep. We all needed to hear this. I would highly recommend that you follow Grayson on all the social media platforms. And I want to say something to pastors, whether you're a youth pastor, you lead a camp, or a lead pastor. you would be doing yourself a favor, your ministry a favor, to have Grayson come and speak at your church. Whether it's on this topic or the topic of digital missions, these are two areas that Grayson is literally killing it.
Come on.
And I think that you should have him come. He would be a blessing to you, and he would help equip your people in this area in a time when we need it so much.
Yes.
So Grayson, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, John. Thankful for your friendship, man.
Like I said, power-packed episode. So much to unpackage there, and I trust that it sparked some ideas and recharged some passion to help you go the distance on your journey for Jesus Christ, reaching people. That's what this is all about. If you're not following Grayson on social media, you definitely need to. But for now, I appreciate those of you who rate and review the podcast. It's super helpful to us, and I appreciate you. You are my heroes, and I can't wait to be with you again next time.